Last week, we focused on discipleship, just as sort of a start to the year kickoff and things. And, you know, if you didn't hear that message at all, maybe it's good to go back and get online or get the podcast and just check in on that. I won't reference it much today, but I want to do discipleship, and I want today to talk about prayer. Sometimes it's so good just to reorient ourselves, right, to some of these basic things, okay? So we're going to talk about prayer today. Now, what I'd like to do is just start off our time with a responsive reading, okay? You can stay seated if you like, or do you need exercise? Stand up. All right, go ahead. So let's stand. I love Crestview Church. As a new community in Christ, the Spirit renews our hearts and moves us to faith, leads us to truth, and helps us to pray. The Spirit stands by us in our need and makes our obedience fresh and vibrant. God gives us many ways to know Him. The creation shows His power and majesty. He speaks through prophets, poets, and apostles, and most eloquently, through His Son, Jesus. The Spirit, active since the beginning, moved human beings to write the Word of God and open our hearts to God's voice. The Bible is the Word of God, the revelation of God, the story of God's redemption. It is the Word of truth, breath of God, fully reliable in leading us to know God and to walk with Jesus Christ in new life. Our hope for a new creation is found in You, Jesus, and lived out in You. So thank You, God, for Your guiding word and words. In teaching how we can pray, even giving us guidance on what to say, and so we pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Whisper, peace be with you to each other, and you may be seated. I'm a little leery every time I give you a chance to speak to each other, like, it could go on and on, which is a beautiful, beautiful thing, okay? Today's message is based, and towards the end I'll come back to it, the Lord's Prayer. And you will find the Lord's Prayer in a couple places in Scripture, all right? You'll find it in Luke, and you'll find it in Matthew. I think it's Luke 11 and then Matthew 6, okay, the Sermon on the Mount. And I'll come back to that, but I want to paint some picture today of our need, all right, for prayer. And I'm going to start out a little unorthodox today, okay? I would like you to think for a moment, all right, and I'll give you about a minute to think about this. You had a little bit of advanced warning in the weekly, but sometimes, right, you don't see that, right? Life is full. Life is busy. And that even relates to prayer. Sometimes with prayer, it's what are the limiting factors that keep us from entering into prayer? What might be, why is it that prayer occasionally or frequently or most of the time is difficult to engage? Now, I know some of you out there may think, well, I don't have such a difficult time with prayer. Well, I'll tell you what, you're probably one of the few. Because prayer and cultivating that kind of life with God, that kind of intimacy, is difficult. So what might be for you some of the obstacles, all right, to coming to God in prayer? So you think about that. I'll give you a little bit of time, and then I would like you, in a moment, I'll tell you, just turn to someone and at least express one or two, if you've come up with that, of what might be why prayer is so difficult to engage. So go ahead, think about that for a minute, and then I'll have you talk to one another. Some of you might be sharing already. That's wonderful. Go ahead. Go ahead. What might make prayer difficult? Wonderful. All right. I'll tell you what. Let's hear a few of them, and what I will do is, what I'd like you to do is just raise your hand. We're going to do this way today. You state, right, in a word or whatever, I'll just point to you, so hopefully not too many hands in one spot at one time, and you say it, and I'm going to repeat it, right, for people online. What might be an obstacle to prayer? Why is it so difficult to engage? Anyone? Let me see a hand. Okay.
So now I do in a different order. I will say, forgive me for how I sin. I'll say my grace for things that I'm grateful. And then I will ask for something or pray for something.
Beautiful.
Because I will feel guilty.
So if I could say one of the obstacles that might be, all right, there's a lot more there that you spoke about. But one of the obstacles would be sometimes I don't realize my need to pray. I only pray when I have a need,
yeah.
Right? So sometimes you find yourself and, oh, I'm praying and I'm on my knees because I feel like it's my last resort, right? What else might be an obstacle to prayer? Anybody?
Anger.
I think sometimes prayer, you know, you can have an experience of really meeting God in prayer, and then you can be in prayer and you maybe don't have that experience, but that doesn't mean God's not meeting you. So it's kind of like a trust. It's a trust. It's putting yourself.
It seems like you've voiced, sometimes it feels like there's silence.
Right.
So maybe when that happens, it might be a barrier to prayer to enter into again.
Right.
When maybe we pray and it seems like it's quiet, potentially. Anyone else?
It's the same thing. It doesn't really do anything.
Ah, it doesn't really do anything. So it's really, why pray if there's no power in that? Okay. What's that?
When you don't see the results. But we talked about sometimes when you pray, you feel like I'm begging. Like, I really want you to do this, you know, instead of asking.
Yeah, just maybe the feeling too in prayer, like it feels like we're begging, you spoke about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Rather than maybe just simply ask. A lot of these things have to do, don't they, with trust and surrender and things like that. Pam. Ah, yeah. It goes back to that need thing, right? So what I'm hearing, okay, and it may not be exactly, but it's almost like we do feel pretty self-sufficient. I'm going to talk about that, right? Because in our world and context today, I don't wonder if it's even more difficult to pray than it was yesterday. Now, I'm not sure that's true at the foundation, but I want to spur your thought in your mind as to why possibly that may be the case, that today it might even be harder to pray for God's people. Anyone else got one they want to just whoop, put out there? Yes?
That he doesn't hear it.
Great. That's a great barrier to prayer. Julie? Yeah.
So if you think of prayer in a different way, then it kind of frees you.
Yeah. Maybe you felt sort of regimented, right? A barrier could be if you see prayer as being regimented, this is the way I have to do it, how I have to say it. You know, I love the word, the teaching about the Holy Spirit. It's just like you may not have words, but to be in communion with God in some kind of prayer, even if there's not words, knowing that God expresses that through the Holy Spirit. And there was one in the back. Did I see another one? Yeah, David.
Time plus solitude plus remembering.
I love it. David said, time, meaning don't have time. Got to make the time. How to make the time?
That's the obstacle.
That's the obstacle. The second one?
Solitude.
Solitude, meaning it's hard to be still? Or to find space for it? Thank you. And what was your third one? You said remembering?
Remember.
Yeah, remember to pray. This is going to get back to why it might be harder to pray today than it was yesterday. Bev?
I think that I've learned that you can pray all the time. You
okay.
You don't have to just all of a sudden stop and go on your knees and pray. I pray a lot of times just while I'm doing the dishes.
Yeah. Bev is expressing more like not an obstacle might be that we think we can't have that constant relationship with God. So Bev exercises just sort of praying all the time, like while you're doing the dishes. I actually really like that posture on prayer, and thank you because you just made the segue for me to the next piece. Okay.
When the kids leave, the big kids.
Kids left, but the big 15 more minutes.
Okay.
I know. This is great. This is why I love Crestview. You guys can all, yeah.
Me?
Yeah. Yeah, you. The only one with a hand up.
I think that before it was guilt, that you're not worthy.
Yes. Thank you for mentioning that. Thank you for mentioning that. Sometimes we don't come to God in prayer. It's because we have guilt. We have shame. We actually think we need to clean up our act before we can come to God.
Right. That's true.
Is that backwards?
Yes.
Yes, it's backwards. Thank you for that. Well, how about the context? Scripture is filled to overflowing with invitations to pray. It's everywhere. Why might? We just looked at that. And then our context, our world and our heart. Perhaps it's more difficult to pray today than yesterday. I wonder if it isn't because of our advancements. We become so advanced, techno, digital, virtual, smart meter, smart watch, smartphone, 5G, information at your fingertips. Amazon can just bring whatever you need in a truck right to your door. I can see this in several ways. How can it be that all the advances of our modern warp speed communication, efficiencies in technology, that we still may not find time to pray? What do you mean? It's saving us all kinds of time. Yet, could these advancements also come with a tendency? Okay, I'm not saying bad, all right? Everything's a good gift from God. However, think about it. A tendency more and more to not need to pray. Oh, I have a need. I'll just call. I'll phone it in. I'll order it. Here it comes. More and more advances in communication and exchange of information than ever before. Instantaneous. I can get on WhatsApp and connect with my African friends in real time. How does that happen? I know some of you are smart enough here to know how. But when you think about prayer then, do we need God? More and more information than ever before, right here. And yet, closeness with God eludes the masses. We have advanced so much in efficiency, convenience, depth and breadth of information itself, and speed and exchange rate, yet What about growth in relationships? Not so much. You would think that our connection with God and with one another would grow with all these advances. And I want to put out there the thought, not so much. Prayer is all about relationship. Growth in relationship. And I'm going to say, okay, and if I'm using the term not quite right, all right, well, people way smarter than me in here, I recognize that every week. But prayer is how I've been thinking about it this week. Is much more analog than any of the things I have mentioned about our human advances. Way more analog. Now, there's lots of ways to define analog, right? Growth in relationship isn't digital, computerized, not 5G, nor can it be come to your door in an Amazon truck. It just can't. Its essence actually has an hour and a minute kind of feature to it, or aspect or essence to it. Actual real time. Not with anything virtual, by the way. And I understand an exchange on Zoom. They're right there. I can see them. But it's not even like that. It's about real space with the real God in real time with the real me and the real you. That's the essence of prayer. It's much more analog. It's a relationship of relating that involves continuous space and time where there's direct continuous connectivity. This is why I really like what Bev shared about that, like something she's learned in her own life. This can be constant and continual. I was reading this week, I spent the weekend on kind of a retreat, and I spent time going through all of my Israel notes when I went to Israel with Dion and I did with the group and with Ray Vanderlaan and things like that, and then sitting in class with Ray Vanderlaan and all these things he talked about. And one thing he brought up, and I think it's a quote, but I couldn't find out who exactly said it, but it's something like, God, reach out your arm. Everybody reach out your arm. Literally. This is the farthest that God will ever be from you. I like that. Now I understand God is here. But when you're feeling alone, or you're feeling like God doesn't hear your prayers, this is it. This is the furthest God will ever be from me. He will be your shade at your right hand. There it is. Scripture. The essence and nature of a relationship with God in prayer. It's about conversation and listening. It's about being plugged in. So I would say a little more hardwired connection than, say, even Wi-Fi. Eugene Peterson says, prayers are tools for being and becoming rather than doing and getting. Well, that's hard too, right? Because we are such doers, earners. You know that we are human beings? Not human doings. Richard Foster, of all the spiritual disciplines, prayer is the most central because it ushers us into perpetual communion with the Father, with God. So it's much more face-to-face. The real me, the real God. And sometimes with virtual anything, and I've been thinking about this even with Facebook. I've mentioned this before, but I find this as a pastor, it's just really weird. Like, I don't want to be consumed, right, always being on Facebook. Facebook's like this great way to connect. It's probably the biggest format that I have in my life. Maybe it just dates my right generation or whatever. There's other forms I know. But where I can connect with everybody pretty much in my orbit of my whole life with all the moves, right, in one sort of post. But to think that that is somehow nurturing a good relationship with someone else, even though they're my friend across the world or on the others in Michigan or Pennsylvania or who knows where, is a fallacy. It's like, as a pastor, it's really bizarre. It's like I kind of think, people think, and maybe I think this too, is why I'm mentioning it. But if I post it on Facebook, then I assume that everybody knows exactly what's going on with me, and so therefore we're connected in relationship. Well, you know what? I have found out almost 3 months later of even one of my closer friends in life that they lost someone in their family. They posted it on Facebook, but yet it never connected real time, real space. Do you see what I'm saying? Who do you have in your life that you have this intimate relationship with on such a level that you're in constant connectivity and communion with them, and it's real? No facades, no barriers, no walls. This is the kind of thing that Almighty God, our Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, breath of life in us, invites us into. It's what Jesus Christ has done, Emmanuel. It's the Spirit of God, right? The breath of life and God's presence with us on a continual, always basis. So why is it so difficult for us to pray? Well, we all have lots of reasons for it, right? Maybe an example of this. Let me give you an example. So Dion and I, over the last few years, have developed a bad habit. We're working in the same space more than we did before, right? Hey, COVID effect, right? Some of us might be in the same space. And here's what happens. I'm in one room, the office on one side of the house. There's just a narrow hallway. It goes through to two open doors to the back family room, which is Dion's office, you know, during the day. And something pops into my mind, right? This is really bad if you're ADHD. Hey, Dion! Anna was thinking about this, wanting this, blah, 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 blah. Okay, what's Dion's response? What? So here's what we've decided to do. Because we still have a tendency to do it. I'll yell it out again, right? And it's like, what? This is what we've decided to do. We've made it much more analog. When we have something like that, we're going to either write it down later, or we're going to walk into the room where the person is you want to communicate with and just stand there and see if you get acknowledged. If you're acknowledged, which often can happen, or there's this kind of thing, you know, or whatever, then you know now's not the time. But when you're in the same room and you have eye-to-eye contact, right? You're that close enough, and you can hear them, you can speak, you can communicate, and you can understand. Do you get it? Yeah. Oh, yeah. How many of you work together maybe with, right? In the same space. It's much more analog. We communicate face-to-face. Okay, another thing about prayer. Prayer is not an exchange of information solely. Now, this gets to some of the feedback we heard or whatever. Like, I think of, I only come to God when I need him. Well, that's interesting in some ways because it's like, oh, I got to get this information to God. This. Right? As if he doesn't know. Or, that's the only thing that's going to draw me to God, right? I got to exchange this information with him. And it's all about sort of my need, right? But I forget this sort of constant communal relationship all the time. It's not an exchange of information solely or even primarily. It's formation in relationship. Formation, being formed in real relationship with God. So, this is analog again in its essence and nature. Wow. So we got a smart meter on our home. I've been doing some research on it. It's not about the research or anything about it, but it's like a smart meter. It's smart. So it takes all your data, right, about the output in your home, about energy and stuff, and that's just wirelessly sends it off. No need for anyone to come to your home. Now, efficient, right? Saving costs, right? Yet, there's an exchange of information, but there's absolutely no formation of a relationship at all. Okay, that's the point of that. Interesting. Sometimes we phone it in, we text it in, or we simply download it, right? Information. But yet we don't engage in personal relationship. So I'll give you another example. When Devin and I, and I've spoken about Devin before, good friend of mine, we become closer friends in the past 15 years. And what a lot of that centered around, it's become much more than that. I mean, this year we actually talked with each other to be much more intentional about the friendship that God has given us with going deeper in our relationship together. And what is that going to require? Anyone? Time together. FaceTime time. Now he lives in Michigan, so there'll be definitely some techno component to this, right? Obviously, Zoom and whatever. But yet there'll be intentionality that is much more face-to-face in nature in the development of the relationship. So how did this kind of thing start to grow? And it's been about 15 years since we started to ride tandem bikes together and then also race. And I'll tell you what, it took a while to get in sync, to learn the nuances. Now, I'm going to show you a picture here, okay? I just took this morning. It's on my wall, so that's why you might see my image in the background right behind the phone, if you look careful. I want you to look at this picture. What about this picture speaks some truth analogous way to a life and relationship in prayer with God? Okay? I'm on the front, me, right, doing my thing, living my life, picking the course we're going to go, finding the line to get through the rocks, where to turn, doing the braking, doing the shifting. I mean, all this stuff is going on, right? God gives all that stuff to me. Devin on the back, I want you to see him as being the Holy Spirit. Okay? Do you see anything that might be analogous? Oh, yes. Our youth can go. I love this. Do you see anything there?
Your legs are in sync.
Yeah. Our legs are in sync. We have to learn how to pedal together. Right? The more time we spend together on the bike, and now we spent lots of miles together in tandem. We've been in some crashes. We've had some hard stuff. We've had to get off and hike a bike it, right, together, or some tough sections, whatever. We learned all kinds of things together. But the more time we spend, the more in sync we are, where today we live miles apart, but we show up for a race together. We might do a little practice run, but it does not take much for us to be in sync because we know one another. We know what the other one's going to do, how they're going to respond, how they're going to act. This is the essence and nature of prayer. What else do you notice? Anybody else? We are in close proximity. You can speak, and it's heard. In fact, remember what I told you about the right arm, right? God is your shade at your right hand. This is the furthest God will ever be away from you. Ever. Your hand attached to your own body. That's Devin can just reach out and put his hand on my back while we're riding. Sometimes he does that. Reassures me of his presence, right? It's gonna be okay. Anything else?
Same shirt.
What's that?
Same shirt.
Yeah, same shirt. Yeah, we're wearing the same shirt. Anything else?
His pack is way bigger.
Thank you, David, because that's where I was going next. What do you think's in that bag? Everything we need. Seriously, everything we need. I mean, you don't have a splint in there to fix a broken leg or anything like that. But you got everything you need in there. He's carrying it. He's carrying it. I know I have one on too. I've got some water in there, but I don't carry a whole lot. Maybe a little bit of food, but you want to know what? Devin reaches in there. Devin, I want something to eat. Can you get something too? Because I'm trying to stay on the trail. Hands it over to me when it's a smooth spot. I eat. The point is, God knows what you need. He's got everything there. I'm going to do a little more close-up. What do you notice here? I know it's blurry.
Roger had.
What's that?
Roger had.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear it.
Neither one of you is looking at the trail.
Well, this race was early on when we started riding, right? And so there was this open patch, and we saw the camera guy, right? There's always someone taking pictures at the race. So you can buy photos and some money-making thing, too. And we just looked over quick, and they snapped it, right? What do you notice about my face and Devin's?
He's smiling. You look a little concerned.
I look a little concerned. Okay, think about this. Prayer and a relationship with God. Look at Devin's face. Does he look worried?
No.
I think that's what it's like. We may be on the front or trying to figure it out. Making all kinds of choices. God's right there with us. Sometimes we might not acknowledge him. In fact, if Devin's doing his job well in the sense of being a stoker behind me, is I almost don't even know he's there. But yet what happens is sometimes you can forget, right, that God is right there. When you fret and you worry, folks, God's not worried. He's got you. I feel like this just spoke to me this week when I started studying the essence of prayer. Right there in close proximity, in sync. It's actually the stoker, if you think about it, I'm up front. There's all these decisions being made. That's you in your own life, right? You're making all these choices. God's wonderfully gracious with free will. Go ahead. This decision might be better than this one. You know, there's all these kind of things. Oh, don't go there, right? There's a stop sign. Sometimes we still go there. But he allows that kind of freedom. He's not worried. He doesn't fret like we do. It's the essence and nature of prayer. You want to know what tandem riding, and you can think about this in your relationship with God too in your life, is that it develops character. When you spend time with God and use the Word as a guide, and I'll end with this in a minute, right? We'll talk about the Lord's Prayer, because the disciples, they were very similar this way, okay? The disciples were, they're like, Lord, teach us how to pray. His own disciples were wondering, how can we do this kind of thing? How do we pray? It might be a question that you ask frequently, right? Or you think you're bad at it. This may surprise you. I don't know what it does, but I'll be vulnerable here. Prayer is a hard thing for me. Lord, teach me how to pray. Now, I may be harder on myself in some ways, right? Aspects, but in some ways, I really think that's true. That's why this speaks to me, because this is experience in life that's very tangible, very real, that it's like, I see this. This is God. In my relationship with him in life, even if I make a bad decision, okay, and all of us have made bad choices, and we're in the pit, or we wipe out, and you know what? Devin, right there. He goes into that place with me. That is our great and wonderful God, who just longs and loves and thirsts for a relationship with us. When Dion and I ride tandem together, and we do too, we like it, and it's funny because I ride with Morgan, too, on tandem. I ride with Anna. Now I got a new tandem partner. His name is Christian. Some of you may have met him, but we're going to do something this summer. But with every one of those things, and I'll focus on Dion and I, there's so much communication that happens throughout the process because we're in such close proximity. You need to think of God that way. He's not distant. Sometimes he might be silent, but he is right there with you. ease of conversation can flow. The more time you spend in intentional space in a place. And it definitely develops character. It can grow deeper relationship. Prayer requires time together with God, minutes and hours of engagement. Helps us to understand God better, to know Him and His ways, to sync up in knowing God and His directions for us, to know ourselves better in the process, to understand the best way through and over any obstacle, but we're never alone, whether in free-flowing conversation or in silence together with God in a constant presence of relationship. Prayer can become easier, it can become richer, fuller, and more life-giving. It was mentioned breath prayer today. I mean, we can learn things from that, right? Breathe God in. What comes out? Praise. What comes out? Crying for help. Breathe in God. Breathe out prayer. Constant relationship with God. Now, the disciples asked, teach us how to pray. If you have struggled with prayer, and this is for me as well, right, today, just keep it simple. Do you remember Jesus' instructions in the Sermon on the Mount? He says, don't be like the pagans, blah, 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 blah. It's kind of like, you know, you think your words, you think by doing it right, or what you're going to engage with God has to be a certain way, or it has to be a lot of, it doesn't. God just wants your full attention, your true self before Him. He knows everything about you already, and you want to know what? He loves you. His love is so big. Shame and guilt, that comes from a place of almost like certainly knowing how far we've stepped from maybe God in certain things or ways. Or certainly that can come from that. Man, I carry some of that. But the true reality in Christ is that once you know God and His love and the full extent of His love, whew, no shame, no guilt, forgiven, no more a barrier to prayer. I heard anger. I think another one is unforgiveness. I'm telling you, unforgiveness. Why does Jesus talk about it so much? Why does God throughout Scripture reveal Himself as one who is forgiving, graceful, slow to anger, abounding in love? Why? Well, that's who He is. How do we develop the character of God? Well, keep it simple. Our Father who's in heaven, holy is your name. In that one sentence, what do you hear? Relationship. Pretty intimate too, right? I mean, a father-son, mother-daughter, however combination you want to think about this. But God reveals Himself as that. So just simply pray, our Father, or some address of God. Acknowledge Him. And holy is your name, revered, praised, honored above all. Acknowledge that. Simple. You did that in one line. Next one, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How much do you think was covered in that phrase? Everything. Your kingdom come. Your will be. What does it say? It says surrender, trust in a simple statement. Completely, fully. In me, your perfect will, your kingdom come as it is in heaven. On this earth as it is in heaven. You've covered all kinds of problems. Lord, this raging inferno sweeping through the second largest city in our country. Destroying, displacing, people losing lives, everything they own. Well, this one is a big one. If you pray this, that God, somehow, would you cover this? You know what I've been thinking about? I'm like, God, would you draw people to yourself? Remember last week you talked about the cost of discipleship? If everything was stripped away and there's no other God or anything above you, what does that leave you with? Well, you know what? It leaves you with God. Lord, use it to draw people to yourself. Such a horrible tragedy. Give us today our daily bread. Well, let's just do a few specifics because Jesus, he knows our hearts. We need God. Let's not store up too much. All kinds of parables about this, right? Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. Let's not put our hope in this and that and this and that. Lord, give me today, give us today and every day what we need. Simple, huh? Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Now, I'll just spend just a minute here on this one before we go on, okay, to finish this prayer. This may be, I tend to think this may be the number one barrier to prayer. You want to know why God doesn't feel so close to you? Just take a look at your forgiveness quotient. Is there someone that you're carrying a grudge against? Is there someone you're holding in a stance of hate? Or you just, you know what, that's unforgivable. Believe me, I understand these things. In fact, there are some things that happen in this world that are so evil, so wicked, so heinous. Should I forgive? You cannot read the Gospels. You cannot look at Jesus' teachings. You cannot read the epistles. You can't even look at the Old Testament God and all of his revelation, covenants, and promises and not see that forgiveness is something we are invited to engage in the same way with the same truth as God forgave us. So maybe this is a key to prayer. Have we forgiven? What does that look like? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I know each one of these is sermons, but do you see how simple this is? And this is the end of the Lord's prayers. We have it in Scripture, right? We had, and yours is the power and the kingdom and the glory forever. That's awesome. But this is it. How much does this cover? Wow. Pretty simple. Pretty simple. So we need not make it difficult. I mean, this lead us not into temptation, deliver us from the evil one. You know what it says to me? It says to me like complete surrender. God, I am weak. You are strong. And acknowledge that in a relationship with God. Our fallen nature, our old self that wants to grab us by the heel, pleasures in our life that we elevate greater than God. As far as meaning and fulfillment, the addictions, the distractions that take the place of God, our tendencies towards temptation that still are there, Lord, keep us from them. Complete dependence on God. Lord, deliver us from the evil one. And you know that Jesus is on this tandem bike of life and prayer with you because he is right there. In fact, Jesus, by what he did, his life, his death, his resurrection, he has crushed the power of all of these things, of sin, of the evil one. In fact, the evil one really has no hold on you if you are in Christ, no power over you. So don't give an inch to him. Find your life hidden in Christ. Pray the Lord's Prayer with regularity. So God invites us into constant relationship. And today I'm sorry I had so much. I did a lot of talking today. What I'd like to do at this point is just give you some space and some room to pray. Maybe there's something that the Holy Spirit revealed to you just today about a relationship with God in prayer and maybe how that could maybe encapsulate better the essence of what prayer truly is. It's an invitation to a continual relationship with God. So I'm going to give you a little bit of space to pray, and then we're going to finish today with praying the Lord's Prayer once again together. As you pray and think about this a moment, and you ask God, right, to meet you, here's a quote from Augustine. Whether we realize it or not, Prayer is the encounter of God's thirst with ours. God thirsts that we may thirst for Him. Spend a few moments in prayer. Lord, thank You for Your love for us today. Thank You that You made a way for us to pray, that You have even given us what we can say. So instructive, so inviting, so true, revealing the real You and the real us before You, living God. And so, Lord, we pray together these words of the Lord's Prayer together. I invite everybody to look at the screen, and I'll go through these slides. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer again together. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen.